Shalom,
hello, thank you for being with us here at this series of talks, A New Life, together with Dr. Rav and Michael Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. We're inviting you to be here together with us today. We'd like to learn from Rav Lightman the integral meaning, the connective meaning of ceremonies that we know from our lives, that we go through in different stages of our lives. So we're sure that we'll be learning a lot here today, and we hope that you'll be able to take a lot of things from this show today to bring a lot of light into your lives, and that here in Israel we'll be able to use these ceremonies as stepping stones to a new, connected, warm feeling of connection between us, so that we'll be able to live here as one family. So, Nitza, please. So the ceremony we'd like to talk about now is the homewarming ceremony, housewarming. The young couple bought a new apartment. It wasn't simple. We had to take a mortgage, but there's an apartment, and we'd like to have this event, a housewarming party. We know that this is a very ancient ceremony, and we'd like to, first of all, maybe understand beforehand, what is a home actually mean? What is the meaning of a home for a person, for us? The home is where a person lives, where he takes care of himself, of his family, where he has guests and relatives over. They don't come into somebody's house uninvited, somebody who's far distant. A home is the place where you give birth, where you live. It's a place where you develop, where you connect, where you have events. Home is a place of connection that is more external than a person's heart. The internal place of connection between people is a person's heart, and afterwards is his home. So, of course, this ceremony is very important. There are all kinds of symbols. How you begin to build the house and you celebrate the placing of the cornerstone, beginning of the building. Putting the mezuzah, reading Tehillim, Psalms, and all kinds of chapters in the Bible, in the Tanakh. This symbolizes the connection between man and the land and the nation, where he places himself, the place where he wants to be connected to everybody else. By this, we actually feel that we become a part of the environment, that even though the home separates me from others on the one hand, on the other hand, it gives me status and connection to others. The home is like a correction of society, a correction of man towards society, towards the world. And from this place, I already begin to become the homeowner. I raise myself to a special level, a different level, so that out of this home, my family will be able to sustain themselves. And all of us together also belong to the nation. So it's not just a home, but it's many homes that connect into a town, a city, and so on. The home is like a cell, just like a person is a cell, where a person has to be. Also with animals, they have their territories where they give birth. This is the matter of the home. And therefore, we are very concerned for everybody having a home. With each nation, we see that they have their own style, the character of the nation. But this concept is a spiritual one. The home, the yard, something that a person has to have gradually in such a way out of his heart, and then he has to have the family. Well, the heart is the first level, then the family and the house, then the city and then the world. This is the way he connects from within outwards. So we have to see, and there's not signs that separate me from everybody, that my home is my fortress. There is such a saying. So no, you have to see it the opposite, that I exist already in a home, so that means that I'm a homeowner and I have the power to also be connected to everyone else. And therefore, this is a very important concept. It's also the feeling and status that is very important for a person. And we see how much this is not simple, but everybody is attracted for this to be theirs, especially. And it's interesting that in our people, as opposed to other nations, the home has to be something very safe, very material. It has to belong to me. And today, it's not really customary. We see that people change from place to place. Americans change their home 6-7 times. Italy, they move from city to city. Maybe this also points to not really having these ties to the place in which they live. And in Israel, it's the opposite. People want to be very much to be connected to the land, to have a home. It's not just to have like a sort of box that will be anywhere, that it is important that it is in a certain place and that it is exactly mine. I buy it, I don't rent it, because tomorrow I'll be able to get rid of it easily. There is the character of the nation here that wants very much to be tied to the neighbors, to the place, to an area, to the land. And therefore, we need to see it as the beginning of the connection between everybody. And also in our scriptures, it's written a lot about it. What else? There are a lot of ceremonies and rituals that have to do with the housewarming, how to build it, in what direction. Even the bathroom needs to not be towards Jerusalem. There are all kinds of such things. We're not so aware of it these days, but it only points to the importance of the home. That it will be very ergonomic, that it will be suitable for a man's character, nature, attributes. There are such creatures that build their house on top of themselves, and we build it a home externally. But when we go inside the home, we see how much it is very... you can know a lot about the person that's living in this home. It's very symbolic of his nature and character. The home is connected to one's body. A person adjusts it to his character, to his relationships with his family and the environment and the world. This is very important.
הוא צריך להיות בצורה כזאת
needs to be in such a way that through it we will be able to feel connected to the world. That I don't just hide there and feel myself to be good and secure, that I have a place of my own and a corner of my own, but that having it, and a person has to have a corner of his own, out of this corner that I've supplied for myself, now I need to see how I connect to others. Everything needs to be connected to me, and also to see how through it I connect myself to the world. And therefore, if we're talking about homes, say that will be built, I think they will be much more open. Intended for connection. And not just that each one will have an open yard or an open living room. But the atmosphere in the home and the media will be so that we'll be able to visit one another through these new technology. This means that a person needs to change in order to be more integral. He needs to be more connected to others. He doesn't want to hide. He wants to be more connected, because it is in the connection with others he'll feel himself safer, more advanced in his life. Because we're now looking at a great revolution in human society that is happening in many people, even though they don't quite feel it yet. They're only noticing these signs here and there. So if we're integral and interconnected, then it's certain that the character of man will change in this way, because nature is compelling us to be more open and interconnected and to understand each other. And also the home, which is like the little box or ark in which a person would hide, just like animals. But nature is compelling us to not to be as animals, but as a speaking level that connects, that finds himself belonging to the public. So, of course, the home that connects between a person's internality to be more integral through education, this new education, and human society, which is more open and understands that it must exist in this mutual connection that is more and more powerful and deep, then the home as well is like a form that we build, which receives its this form in accordance to the way we've changed. It will be more open, more friendly. Are you talking about the physical form? Not just the people in the home. Yes, of course. If we change, it will change itself. Of course, it will also change. This is clear, and it's interesting. It's possible that there will be small homes. It's interesting how it will change. But between them, there will be big yards with a common space, more public spaces. Yes, and also public houses between the private houses. Because I don't really need much for myself. I'm not going to hide there and to sit there for many with my TV or computer for a long time. But I'll find myself more to spend more time in these common spaces, in the buildings, in these circles, in the plazas, in gardens, different places for shared activities with children. So I think over time, a person will feel out of these internal changes that he will build these smaller private homes and bigger shared houses, just like what we call Bet Ha'am, the house of the nation, something that's open to everyone. I think that it will be much more simple also for existence. We'll have more shared meals and things like that. Not that it will be like a kibbutz, where everybody is committed by that, but to an extent it will be close to this form of togetherness. They'll do all these meals and activities because it will unite them, and we're used to these things, and I think that this is how it will happen in a very simple, general way for all the people. It's very interesting, this principle that you mentioned, the principle behind what you've illustrated, that on the one hand, a person separates himself and closes himself off and creating a kind of independent self, but it is because he's gained this independence in his own home, this enables him to connect correctly to others. It's a kind of process. And when you describe this process, I'm thinking about the process that the Jewish people went through, because he was spread all over the world and didn't have any roots in any of these places. And when it came together back here to Israel, it explains very nicely why it is so important for us Israelis, almost obsessive need, to buy a house and for it to be mine and to hold on to these walls. But now that you've explained it, it suddenly makes a lot of sense, and it's clear. It's this desire to put in the roots to the land and to have this connection to the land. There's a connection between the people and this land of Israel. And out of this building, the next stage that you describe is a stage of having common land, common spaces that we'll have between us. Yes, but this is without any pressure, without compelling anyone, but through education, to the extent that we'll change. We will build these things in this way. I won't want to eat alone, or the home itself is the place where I need to be alone. To sleep, maybe. Maybe. That also is a question. We can maybe even, you can't see this really in the horizon, but it might be that we will be so in need of connection. For example, I see my grandson. For him, he's very happy to go and sleep with friends. You know this phenomenon. Yeah, so he's already 4. He doesn't want to sleep at home. He wants to sleep with his friend, and they sleep in one bed or in adjacent beds. This for him is fun. So this same inclination to be connected is something I think will develop more and more. And it's possible that in the future we will in some way return to the male parts and female parts and something in between them. Again, this is only through the connection of a man with these principles of nature. This new shared integral nature, only that can bring us to such a feeling, but we see that for certain there will be changes. What blessing would you give to this new home? Maybe I will read the common blessing that people give. Birkat HaBayit, the blessing of the home. No sadness will come through this door. No problems will come into this house. No disagreement will come into this home. This place will be full of peace and blessings. I don't really think we need to be concerned about all these things. The prayer is very egoistic and personal. I think we need to be more open. We need to understand that the blessing in general,
שאנחנו פתאום נמצאים בהם בחיים שלנו, הברכה האחת היא
שאנחנו... The one blessing that I see is for us to be connected correctly to the environment.
זה הביטחון, זה הבריאות, זה האקולוגיה.
It's the security, it's health, it's ecology. It's the place of income, good education for your children, everything. If we build a good environment, this is actually the home. And not the walls. And therefore, we need here to pay attention to the connection. If it takes place, for now I will feel the walls less and less as those that give me security or blessings, but these things come from the environment, the human environment. And therefore, this concept of the home will receive a different character. It won't be walls made out of building blocks, but the feeling who's in the city, in what country, what closeness to the others around me and the warmth that I feel, that is my home. And the house itself, it becomes something that loses of its value, it disappears of it's not that important. More and more I feel the society around me, that is my home. That is the answer to all of my passions and desires. That is where I'll receive all the blessings from, all the support. So then we can say this, the real home is not the apartment, but the arvut, the mutual guarantee. What is that? It's the mutual commitment to supply each and every one of the friends in the nation.
לחיים הביטוחים, בריאים, שליבים,
support,
לחינוך, להשכלה, לפרנסה,
good life, income, everything they need, support and everything.
שאני ערב לכל אחד ואחד שבכל הכוחי,
that I am guaranteeing that I will care for each and every one with my own power. And then I put around every person, I give this feeling that he has these walls, these protections. He has this nice human protection. He doesn't have to hide behind any walls because he feels threatened, but the opposite. The security will be something he'll feel outside these walls, between human beings. That is actually his salvation, the support that he wants to attain, because the home is just a concept of security, of having something that is my own. So I have no security in anything if I'm inside even my own apartment, if around it the environment is hostile, and the opposite. If I've created a good atmosphere in the people, because all of Israel are as friends, we're all as brothers, then all of these walls they can be see-through to everyone. I won't even feel that I need them so much. Only for my corporeal, physical, intimate life, then I need them, but no more. The concept of hiding place, just like animals have, is on the correct human level, needs to disappear. So I need the space where I begin to build my family with my children, where I need to grow them. But the moment that I exit home with my children, when my children have grown, then I don't feel any importance towards the house itself. I feel the importance towards the society in which I am. And then, naturally, I want to transfer from myself and from my home more to the societal life. Then we'll have shared houses of culture and activities for children, for women, for everybody, the community life. And this will happen out of our own internal change, that we need, first of all, to receive this integral education. But out of that, it is certain that all of these things will change. It will come from the inside out. When you were talking now, I thought of the houses that I changed over my life, and not just the houses themselves, but their interaction that I had with the environment. So I'll tell you about two phases that I went through. I was born in a kind of rural town, and I've been through a few cities, and today I live in a city, and I divide my life between this living in the country and living in the city. And today, in the city, when somebody bangs on my door, first of all, you want to see who it is. I'm not even talking about looking at who it is. I'm talking about the intuitive feeling I have inside even before I look. When I hear these knocks on the door, I tell myself, who the hell is it? And what do they want? And there are a number of options. There aren't so many. One of the options, one of the more dominant ones, is a neighbor that has come to complain about something. Also, there are a few other incidents, but there are very few. In my feeling, this is what comes up. And now I am reminded that when I lived in the country, if somebody came over, it was a happy incident, because who would come? Friends. My friends of my brothers, of my parents. And when somebody came over, something happens. We do something together, eat together. So then, in these two phases, my feeling of interaction with the environment turned around 180 degrees. So today, in the city, with the relationships I have today, I don't know my neighbors, I don't know their names. I only hope that no one, except for my children, if they don't have the key, will ever knock on the doors. And this is what I want for the rest of my life, and I will go wherever I want. Now, the description that you're giving here, I identified with it because you have these remembrances from the past, memories. Yes, so that was history. So you're talking about us building a new society here in Israel that will be as one family. So let's jump together to this illustration, this picture. And I don't really care what we need to do, because emotionally I'm very drawn to this picture that you're giving. It reminds me of something very good and warm. When someone will knock on my door, or if I have an interaction with someone who lives outside of my home, what will it be like? What kind of connection is awaiting me there, just like in one family? I think the door will be unlocked, that this person will knock on the door because maybe the person inside maybe is undressed. But otherwise, that's the only reason he's knocking, not to make each other embarrassed. But at the end of the day, everything will be open. You'll have the same feeling that you had then. You may be invited to some meeting, to some meal, to sing together, to do something pleasant together. What could happen if we're all in these good relationships? I think it will all turn around 180 degrees, like you say, from the inside out. And I'll feel more comfortable and better off between people. I'll also be educated in this way, because we're talking about education. The education needs to be from the kindergarten, from the younger ages, that we all be educated together, and not for a woman to keep her child at home. She will go around with him so that he'll be between people. Why do children, young children, like to be with friends, and adults don't like for people to bug them? Because firstly, we are committed towards the egoistic society, and our ego is growing. And children's ego is even more big, but it's clear, it's prominent. He takes his friend's toy and doesn't really hide it. If you behave naturally this way with others, then you're like a child. It's clear. But the more we grow, the more we begin to hide our ego. We begin to be ashamed of it. Of our desires, of our thoughts, of the way we use others, and all the laws in society that we want or don't want to keep. All of my life, 90% of my efforts is to protect myself, not to shame myself in the eyes of others. This is the most important thing. Getting rid of that brings such joy. We're not even aware of it because we've never felt it. It's like a baby in the hands of his mother. Does he feel shame? No. Does he think about it? No. Look at how he develops, at what pace. Because he's open to everyone. If we could live in such a society where everything is open in such a way, imagine that. Not to try and protect this or that, not to talk, not to think, but the opposite. You, the entire world is yours. This gives such a feeling of happiness, of joy, that if a person felt this way, he would be willing to pay everything for it. That is life. You wouldn't want to go back. You'd rather die than go back to this life that he has now. Therefore, this is the true home. If we could enter such a communication with the environment, the mutual feeling, and it is called arvut, mutual guarantee, where each and every one guarantees that the other will always feel good. And then there is no problem for anyone. He doesn't need to protect himself, to be closed, to be careful in the way he relates to others. But this is only possible after integral education. And then, of course, all our lives will change. Activities for children, also between fathers and mothers, and the elderly will be able to occupy themselves. They'll know what to do with their time. Everything will be completely different. Today, I hope that our development will bring us to the necessity for this, even without the dissemination of integral education, because man is already feeling depressed. What does he have at home? Food and watching soccer or football with some snacks. What will he do? Especially since he will be so available, because the work, our world of work is going to change. And in general, we'll feel the need. Also, you won't be able to watch television anymore with all those shows, so a person will have nothing to hide with. Imagine you have 6 or 7 hours that you're at home a day. It's terrible. What will you do with your time? Climb the walls. Right, let's say you only have 4 hours of work a day. What else will you do? Unless we have integral education that will bring you this new occupation with this new connections, finding these new opportunities to hang out, to have fun with games, with workshops, with all kinds of doing things together. If you don't occupy yourself, you'll begin to kill each other. Also at home, and also in the yard, and also in the town. It makes a person crazy. In order not to go crazy, let's go back to our housewarming party and go back into that situation. We have a young couple that happily has been able to buy their first apartment, and now...
But
did they have the wedding that is our style? I don't know, I'm not sure. But anyway, this is now the evening where he's inviting his friends and family to... And everybody's in the home, everybody's there. Why? What for? Why do it in the home? Let's do it in the yard. No, we don't have a yard. The only single people who will be able to afford a private home will do it in the yard. But we only managed to buy an apartment on the third floor. I would invite all of the neighbors. Why do you look at me this way? But we don't know the neighbors yet. In order to get to know them. Oh, you say I should invite them in order to get to know them? Maybe the entire street? What is the problem? No, we have a limited budget. No, the budget is something else. There's a reason to have a party, so you should invite. Each person will bring something, a cake, some salad. So another person will bring the beer or the bread. Each and every one will bring something. And those who have the housewarming party don't need to bring anything. They need to bring the reason for the party. So then each person should bring something because then they participate. Yeah, and you should invite everybody today in the evening in the yard between the houses. There is this housewarming party. This and that couple purchased a home and they want to get to know everyone. And thanks to them, we will all get to know each other better. So first of all, already we can say that usually in housewarming parties, we don't invite the neighbors. We invite family and friends. So already this is a nice idea. I don't live in my home with my relatives, but I'm certain to live with my neighbors. So I should. It's worthwhile for me to connect to them, first of all, and to invite them. So we're not talking about today. No, we are talking about today, not some future society. Let's say there's a building in Petah Tikva, 19th floor. I live on the 19th floor. There's 20 floors. You know what, 90 or 100 families. So what, you're going to put a poster in the lobby? Yes, I put a note in the lobby, and there's a big lobby, and there's a big room, like a guest room. So that's where we can have this party. So what should we do? So even before we go through integral education today, yeah, we want to learn what to do today, so we'll know what to do tomorrow. So I'll put tables in this guest room and make a buffet. And then there will be cakes and juice, some balloons from the kids, and that's it. And each one gets to know everyone else. And I make a little speech that we're very happy that we're coming here to this house. And I'm very happy to get to know everyone, and we hope that we will enjoy each other's company, that we'll be friends and help each other, because a neighbor is more important than a relative in this aspect, because We live together. So, such normal things. That's it. This is what I do. If I ask my wife, because she, me and her, we barely know our neighbors. Yeah, you can live in a place for years and not know your neighbors today. Okay, so now let's proceed. So people came, and I suppose it will be a combination, because if I lived at your home and you put an announcement in the lobby that you're having a housewarming party, I'd hope very much that on the day the cars that will come will not block the street, and that there won't be too much noise, and the elevators won't be blocked. Okay, so we can do something else. We can do a housewarming party for the children of the house. And then everybody will come. Yeah, that's a nice idea for all the children. And then it's an opportunity for the kids to come and play and get to know each other. I prepare some games, toys, and some treats and juices, pizza, whatever they like. And that's it. And everybody comes. And then if the children come, then also it has to do with the families, and the grown-ups will come, also the mothers with the children. At least that. A mini housewarming event. Okay, so now let's proceed. There is this event. Whoever came. I suppose it will be a combination of relatives, friends, and neighbors. No, I wouldn't do it that way. No, I have to, because you know the person who gave me the money for this apartment, or at least part of it, is usually for my family. So I invite them over on a different day, on Saturday evening. Say you're already doing the Shabbat in your family, and you invite them over. I don't think people can do what you're saying these days, that somebody will do a housewarming party without inviting their family. It's not acceptable. So I think we should go and do a combination of neighbors and family members. It's not so important for me who they are. It's important for me the situation. So now we're at the party. There is a few dozens of people. We're all together. The question is, will we be able to add a new element into this event that in some way will bring us closer to the feelings that you described before? Maybe we can hold a workshop here between us that we'd be happy if you lead us into it, that will bring us closer to a certain extent to this perception of the ties between us. And that the home is not a hiding place. It's a place from which I can connect to others. It's a place that gives me the stability from which I can find a new home, a social home, and the relationships between us. So can you build us a workshop that will lead us into this warm place? We have specialists in all of these activities and games, and I don't know what to tell you. No, a workshop, some questions to discuss, to talk about. Well, it's favorable if you put everyone in this big circle. Also during the meal? Yeah, the meal is it's a buffet, so if we seat them in a circle, with tables or without tables. And then I'd maybe ask them questions. What's happening in the building? What problems? What special things happen here? Parents, children, good things, and so on. So that we will know what we demand or need from our neighbors. And then I will try and see how I can bring them to further connection, to participation, to having this warmth in the discussion. Maybe this way. It sounds to me that you're talking too much about the problems. Maybe something that will connect them. Actually, I'm not counting on all the neighbors coming over. I suppose that I'm trying to be practical. Today, no neighbors would come. Maybe a few women because of their children. Also because it's surprising. I would come just because it's surprising. Yeah, but Nitsa, you're a pluralistic person. Right, because it's surprising. I didn't hear recently that neighbors do something like this. I think I would go because it's something outstanding. So Nitsa is the only woman who will come from this 20-story building. So I'd like for us to be very realistic with our feet on the ground. I want to do a housewarming party. I know who I want to invite, my family and friends, and this one neighbor from the bottom floor who will come and we will honor her. So I'd like to do something that nobody's done before in housewarming parties. I'd like to do something that will open new thoughts for us about how today we can build a home not just between these walls that I'm going to pay this mortgage on till the rest of my life, but I'd like you to build a workshop that will aim us at thinking and feeling things differently. I used to live in Rehovot, where in a home where there weren't so many young couples. People were about my age, about around the age of 30, couples with children. And one neighbor organized a bicycle activity for the children. He said, let's buy some bicycles around Rehovot. There are all these fields, and really there are a lot of kids and also some grown-ups who bought bicycles. And then we had this activity every week. They'd go on these trips. And the other neighbor organized a photography class, you know, with simple cameras. But this was still with the Kodak film. This was 40 years ago. In 76 or 77. And it was very successful. Also, they began going to play soccer and to soccer fields and to photograph there, and also to photograph birds. It kept them busy, and the atmosphere in the home was better. On Saturday, we would usually come and visit the families with a bag of snacks, and another person would bring a cake and some juice, and that's how we would hang out during the Shabbat. And most of the people were traditional and keep the Sabbath. This is the way we did it. It was nice. The atmosphere was very nice. So why did you tell us about this now? Because I see that people today are not this way anymore, but I saw how good it was to organize such activities for the children, how much it releases the parents from the pressure of looking after them, especially on vacation days and Saturdays, how good it is with the neighbors if they can visit one another. It was just like this. We would ask who we're going to spend the next Saturday with. And so I bought some 5 bottles of juice, a kilo of sunflower seeds. My wife would make a cake, and that's it, and we would be set to go. And we'd have what to talk about. And I'm talking about this very folk atmosphere. Of course, I didn't really feel that connected to it or attracted to it because I had my own thoughts from my own profession, but I felt that I had to participate in it because the children. We had to offer them such things. I think also for neighbors in a modern house, especially since there's some yard beneath these buildings, we can offer them all kinds of things. I'm also certain now, so see that it happens these days, that that multi-floor buildings use these spaces for all kinds of parties for the children, for a jamboree, and all kinds of things. But we have just a few minutes left, so I'd like for us to talk about one of the most certain central symbols of the housewarming, which is placing the mezuzah on the door. And this is a kind of symbol of security, you know, having this connection to a higher force that will protect you when you come in, when you go out. And today, when a young couple, say Nitza and I, purchase this apartment and go through this housewarming party and put the mezuzot, if we want to feel that there is this force that protects us, that we want to connect to when we enter the home and when we come out of it, how can we do this for it really to succeed in our lives? What can give us the connection to this force that will promise us that this protection? What can we do? What is your advice? My advice is to understand what is this mezuzah. There's a lot written about it, but simply, I'd say this. A person can connect to the upper force only if he is in connection with the other people. It is written that I sit within my nation. The Creator is in the connection between people. Between people, that is where He resides, this upper force, and not within a person. If you connect, if you try to be between people, that is where you find Him. From here, this is something we learn from the Mountain of Sinai event, to be as one man and one heart. All of Israel are friends. Don't do unto others what you yourself hate. Love thy friend as thyself, and so on and so on. The demand to be in mutual guarantee. All of our demands, all that is demanded of us, talking about this upper force, is to be together. To be together. And therefore, the mezuzah is a symbol of unity. And therefore, it signifies to me that if I and my home and outside my home, if I stay in this one force, if I organize my life in this way, that whatever is in my home and what's outside my home, I accept it all as one. We're all as one. We're all brothers. We are all in one home. Then the upper force will protect me. Usually it's put on the side of the door. Why is it on the door? Why not on the wall? Yes, because it's the limit, the entrance. Yes, so each time a person goes through this limit, this is what he needs to be reminded of. This is this unity that he needs to be reminded of. Yes. Maybe another question on the part of the homeowner, the woman, who usually takes care of the preparing the food and connecting everyone through that. What is in the food, in this meal, that connects so much those that come to the home? Well, food is not just about housewarming parties. It's something that unites people in all cultures. It's something that is natural, that something that we do without anything, that has nothing to do with who we are or what we are. If I give a person his fundamental needs for life, by that I show him my approach towards his existence, his basic existence. And therefore, it's a sign of concern, of mutual consideration. And therefore, when we drink from the same source of life, we have a common basis from which we can begin now to talk about the connection. It connects us. It's something basic. And in regards to the people in the house and the lady of the house, these are things that have to do with the building of the house, because it's not possible to have a home without two. One person in an apartment doesn't mean that there is a home, because there needs to be a family inside this home for it to be considered a home. And therefore, here, there needs to be this feeling of dividing the roles, and as much as they are opposed, naturally, but still they are connected, and there is a connection between them, something that connects them and closes them and envelops them. This is actually the internality of the home, the connection between them, that it becomes a couple. This couple is the internality of the home, and we've been talking about how this only happens through concessions, mutually, and by them keeping this mutuality, and this is called mutual guarantee, that each one has this concern for the other. By that, they build the fulfillment of the home. And then the home can actually exist around them. Otherwise, it's not a home. Otherwise, it's just walls, just a fortress, somewhere to sleep, like a hotel. Many times they bless a couple that goes into a new home, that they should have the privilege of building a faithful home in Israel. What does this mean? A faithful home to Israel means that we are faithful in this structure that is called the cell, the social cell, that is called a family and home. We're faithful to being a part of the nation of Israel, that we aim ourselves to the essence of Israel and its foundation, which is being one family, which is love thy friend as thyself. This is at the foundation of our nation. And we have in each and every family to see, to be a faithful part to this principle. Okay, another question, maybe the last one for our show. We, Nitza and I, are the man and woman who are having this housewarming party. We're very excited. We know that dozens of people will come. Also for us, this is important. It's our first apartment that we've purchased. So what should we think about in order to aim ourselves correctly to this event, so that at its end we will truly feel this warmth, this home that is beyond the walls, but just one home, one family that is all of Israel? What do we need to think in order to do the maximum so that our internal desire will, so that this event will succeed tomorrow night? First of all, you need to talk to your friends and your relatives and tell them that it's not you alone that will do this, but together you will all build this atmosphere to discover and reveal and show such a friendly, open approach without talking about it. But really helping the people who will come, because they'll come and they'll be lonely. The neighbors, they're not connected to each other. You need to wrap them, envelop them with this warmth, with this participation, with this nice approach. And by wanting to help correctly and supporting, so that they'll feel that there is this new attitude here, not disrespect, not condescending.
And
not as sour grapes towards each other, right? But warmth, goodness. The sign that the good sign is that during the event more people will arrive. This is a sign that you're doing your job well. People will feel this and be attracted to it. Maybe people will invite more neighbors during the event itself, and more people will arrive. This will attract them. This is the sign that you've succeeded. And then you will have a good, warm home for all your life. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, Rav Lavin. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, our viewers, for being with us. Let's build this warm house for everyone. Until next time, all the best and a new life.